Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we've got Jeff Dedarian in the house.
Good morning, Ann.
Finally. I've been trying to hook you into the studio for a long time because I got to tell you, Jeff, you are one of my favorite reporters out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I really, really appreciate the good hard work that you do down at WTNH Channel 8, where you are an investigative reporter. And you've been in the broadcast business for a while, but you're kind of recently back in it, right?
Right. I was out of it for a bit and got my start in radio and Providence, and then worked a couple of stations in Providence. Did that for a while, then went to Boston, WHDH, Channel 7, and then, like I said, was out of the business and worked for a health and wellness company, and then through a friend got back in it again and started to do some more reporting and storytelling, which I really love, and so here we are.
Here we are. We got to give a shout out to Nancy Lynch.
Exactly.
Because 100%. She is just one heck of a lady, and you know, she knows talent when she sees it. So you got roped back in.
Got roped back
and
in.
And here you are again at WTNH Channel 8.
Yep.
And we just got done with sweeps.
Right.
Sweeps, folks, for those of you who might not be familiar, are they're called the ratings, right? They're certain months and throughout the course of the year. May's a big one. They call it the book. And then this, we just wrapped up this one. And this is when they can kind of set their advertising dollars depending on the number of viewers they get.
Right.
It's a whole big deal. I just know that you can't ever do anything if you work in the news business. During ratings, you can't get married. You can't take a vacation.
Right.
You can't be sick. You can't do anything.
They come pick you up.
They're like, I don't care if you're puking in the can, you're coming into work. So let's talk a little bit about some of the pieces that you worked on recently. I got to start with the cannibal guy.
Yeah, the cannibal one is really, you know, there's some stories that just sort of stick with you and kind of affect you. And this was definitely one of them. And for people that are listening that don't know, so there's a cannibal in Connecticut who back in 2010, 2011, did a horrific crime. Actually, you know, ate a person's part of. And I know it's a. I know it's
killed
a
mourning, him first. I hope, right?
Yeah, killed him first with an axe in Bridgeport.
Jesus.
And the victim had actually invited this person in, the cannibal, in because they had known each other. It was cold. It was December, and he was actually befriending him and trying to help him and bring him into the apartment. So he brought him in, and something went wrong, obviously, and then he ended up killing him with an axe first, and then and I know it's morning time here when we're airing this and just warn people a little bit, but he ate portions of the person, and I won't go any further than that.
All right.
But anyway, so he was found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Here
in the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
And so he was committed to a psychiatric hospital for a term of 60 years. So the victim's family thought that he would serve out that he's not going to jail, he's going to a hospital, but he's going to serve 60 years. So fast forward 10 years later, they begin now to give him this transitional step forward program that allows him to come out into society. So 6 months ago, this actually started when he started to get released a little bit. And, you know, kind of like John Hinckley, who I actually interviewed too and did a story with once, probably about a year ago. I can tell you about that quick. But anyway, this cannibal, he started to get released and come back into society. So now the Psychiatric Review Board in Connecticut, who's in charge of deciding whether or not these people go free or not, they have decided that he can now take the next step toward, which really basically is freedom. So I interviewed the family, and you know, they're obviously outraged by it, and they're angry. They're scared because they don't know if this guy's going to come back for him. And they're just sort of, you know, disillusioned by the judicial system. So what happens is because of this not guilty by reason of insanity, that it's the punishment against the person who did this horrific crime. It's not punitive. It's basically meant to be rehabilitative. So he's actually acquitted of the crime. So he's an acquittee, which is a big word.
So nothing's on his record.
100%. So he comes to work for Ann Baldwin Media.
No thanks.
Okay, but if he did, and you did a background check on him, you will find zero.
Unbelievable.
Because he was acquitted of it by reason of insanity. So and I had an attorney on, Ryan McGuigan, who's a former state prosecutor.
Oh, I know Ryan. He's been on the show.
Yep, good guy. And he kind of walked us all through it. He walked me all through it, because a lot of people are like you, and I was, to some degree like that as well, but it's how the system is set up, that these people are meant to get rehabilitated, not be punished.
So where is this guy?
So he's he's going to go through a halfway house program. And
where?
They're not saying where.
Of course not.
They're not saying where. I tried to interview the Psychiatric Review Board. They did not want to talk on camera. They sent me a statement.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. And they said, look, we feel as though, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing,
right,
but we feel as though that our experts, our 15 experts, forensic sort of psychologist type people, they've evaluated him. They've talked with him. They've met with him. He's going to continue to take his medicine, and he's sort of satisfied everything. He's sort of been, a person that we feel can be back out into the public.
So are you going to do a follow-up story on where this guy ends up?
We will. I mean, but they're really protective of him. The Psychiatric Review Board is very protective of him. I reached out to his public defender and also said, look, can we talk with your client? If your client is remorseful,
right,
if he is better, if he is going to follow all the rules, then let me hear him say it.
Say that, yeah.
Let him right. talk about it. And they said, look, he's not interested in doing any interviews right now.
Wow. So. I'll be curious to find out where that guy ends up. Probably in my backyard.
I don't know.
I hope not. So what else have you got that's been on your plate?
I did a story too on something called sextortion.
Oh yes.
Which I got to tell you is a real big problem in Connecticut. So I worked with Connecticut State Police and then New Haven Police SVU unit, Special Victims Unit, and these folks were telling me that in Connecticut they literally get hundreds and hundreds of tips and leads that they have to investigate. So for people listening that don't know what sextortion is, really quick, let's just say you have a daughter who's 13 or 15 years old. She goes to New Britain High School, and someone online sort of does some research in the background, and they get all kinds of information about your daughter and what she's into. She's a cheerleader. She's part of the football team. She's into, soccer. She's into this. So what they do is they reach out and they communicate with these young girls, and they get these young girls to think that they're actually somebody from in the school. They get them to think that they're the captain of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're posing as the captain of the football team, and they're saying, look, hi, Anne, I think you're really pretty, and I see you in school. I see you in the hallways. It's all made up.
Right.
It's all lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the young girl will then send a picture, most of the time an explicit photo,
mm-hmm,
to the person. And then one of three things happen. One, send me more photos. Two, financial incentive, you need to pay me $1,000.
Or I'm going to spread it all over the place.
Or I'm going to blast it all over the media. Or B, you need to perform some sort of sexual favor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge problem. So we actually did what I thought was a really insightful story, trying to give parents some information in terms of what they should look for. In other words, they should be on the phones. They should look at the pictures, look at the text, but also look at the deleted pictures and whatnot, because there's all these apps that kids are on, and also too, gamers. If your kid is a gamer, these creeps are now sort of getting to kids through gaming. And it's not just girls.
It's
boys too.
Yep.
It's boys too. And it's leading to suicides in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And
because these kids are so distraught.
Distraught. Right.
And these are good kids.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids are just good kids.
Yep.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Jeff Dedarian. He is a Emmy nominated investigative reporter with WTNH Channel 8. You're going to be getting some Emmys this year, I can tell you.
I hope so.
But back to that story, I did see your piece. And I also want to mention that if people want to see these reports, and mm-hmm, it really is good, useful information. You don't just cover the sensational piece of the story.
Right.
You then give people and listeners and viewers, you know, good information on what you can do about it. And all these are on your website at WTNH.com. And I got to tell you, you guys are just kicking butt down there. I got Rich Graziano, your general manager, and Chuck, your news director, all of your people do such good work. I mean, it's just part of the culture there.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. And, you know, people need to understand, Jeff, you know, these stories don't just happen.
Right.
Talk a little bit. I mean, the legwork that they're allowing you to do and the real investigation, which has kind of gone away in print and in television and everywhere else, you're doing your due diligence. You're really uncovering some huge stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think for people that, I mean, Ann, you were in the business for a long time and you know exactly how things work. But, you know, to be able to do a story on WTNH that's 5 or 6 minutes long,
wow.
I've done a 7-minute story where, you know, in local news, that's just unheard of. The resources and the time and the dedication and the just the commitment to journalism and storytelling is not in a lot of places anymore. So the fact that I'm able to do that at Channel 8 is really something that I'm grateful for. Because these stories that I do, investigative reporting, and by the way, if people have tips, if they have story ideas, that's where I get a lot of my stories from. So you can, and if you don't mind, you know, find me on Instagram, Jeff Dedarian TV. Just you can find me there. You can search me on Facebook, Jeff Dedarian, and you can DM me. Tips are confidential, and we run the gamut just in terms of how we do stories. And I'm always thankful for people that send tips. But to answer your question, the commitment to local journalism there is really paramount because it's kind of gone away. The business has changed, not just at Channel 8, but everywhere has changed. Resources are tighter. Linear television, as we call it, is challenged to try and get people to watch. But I'm convinced if you give people real content and a reason to watch, they will watch. And we have proven that. So there's storytelling and the story, right? They always have to kind of go together.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell a story. You have to kind of weave people through it and take people through it through some twists and turns and leave some things out. But the story has to be there. The facts of the story have to be there. Has to be fair, balanced, etc. And that's what, you know, that's what I work on every day. And so, you know, Channel 8 has just been great in terms of allowing me to do that. Because these stories take time. Sometimes when you watch the news, for people listening at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you'll see a story that runs like a minute in 25 seconds or a minute 30, right?
Yeah,
you know what
that's
that is, Ann, right? But now my stories, again, take up much more time, and they take sometimes weeks to shoot and put together and write and edit and all of that. So it's, in some markets, it's a lost craft, but here it's still alive and well.
Thank goodness. And it's worth every minute. You know, you probably could run this thing for 10 minutes if they let you.
Exactly.
You know, to trying to take all that you get and cut it down, folks, that's the big challenge, right?
Right.
But having that time and them allowing you to do that time. And, you know, the level of expertise down there, I think, with almost all your reporters and on-air people is just top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
And that really needs to be mentioned because we can't say that about it.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, but we won't name names.
Right.
So you also worked in New York too, right? Or no,
Boston. I was in Boston. Yep.
You were also in Boston, but you were one of the first reporters from New England on the ground at 9/11.
Yeah, so I worked at a station, Channel 7 in Boston, which at the time was a real aggressive station that traveled, and they still do. They're still aggressive. But, you know, we travel to national stories. story. So I had, like, me and a couple of other people literally had a bag under my desk. So if something were to happen, I covered Columbine, the school, one of the first major school shootings.
Unfortunately, that's what put my home state of Colorado and my hometown of Littleton on the
map.
That's
right. I was there for that, unfortunately. And that was kind of not, wasn't the first one, but it was one that sort of was so big and so national and so shocking. But I did spend about 3 weeks at Ground Zero on 9/11. I'll never forget it. A quick story. I don't know how we're doing on time.
We're fine.
My kids were little at the time, and it was 2001, I want to say, 9/11. And so my kids were 3 or 4 years old, and I worked nights, and we were at a bagel shop. My wife would work, and I took my kids for bagels every, you know, couple of mornings a week. And we had pagers then.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you remember pagers,
uh-huh.
Ann. And it went off. My kids are there where they're having orange juice and their bagels and all the stuff. And my pager's 911, 911. And so in the news business, when you got a page 911, that meant, like, doesn't matter where you are, call. We don't care if you're at the doctor, the dentist. Mm-hmm. We don't care what you're doing. Just call us. So they called and said, look, there's a plane that crashed into a building in New York. And I'm like, what? What do you mean a plane? So I thought it was like a small little Cessna plane. So I got the kids. We raced home. I'll never forget, I put the news on. And Peter Jennings was on. You remember Peter Jennings?
Yep.
One of the best, obviously. And everything started to unfold. And so they had me meet. So I was in Rhode Island, where I live, and they had me meet, and the photographer was in Boston, so we were headed to New York. They said, look, you're going to go. So we met at a rest stop. I left my car somewhere in Connecticut, speaking oddly of which, and we raced down, and I remember we were there, and they had kind of shut the city down at that point. It wasn't completely shut, but it was close, and there was a New York NYPD cop there, and he's like, I can't let you through. And I'm like, come on, man. You got to let me through. We're from Boston. I'm here to cover the story. And he's like, nope, I got orders not to let people through. And I'm like, well, what? I mean, you got to let us in. We've got to try and, you know. Anyway, little few minutes, sweet talking back and forth. He's like, look, anybody asked, I didn't do it. And he kind of, you know how it goes,
right? How much
right?
money did you have to give
No,
them?
I didn't have to
how
give
many
anything.
Donuts
no,
did you
right?
make?
No, right. No donuts.
But wait, what'd you do with the kids at the bagel shop?
No, Mike. So my wife came home.
Oh, okay.
Good reporter question. good detail right there.
I'm worried
there.
About the kids.
No. I didn't. Oh, that. Case DCF's listening. I didn't, right? I didn't leave my kids at home. So I called my wife. She worked at a hospital at the time. I said, look, I got to go to New York. You got to come home. So she came home. I took a bag, left, da-da-da-da-da. And then we made our way into the city. And then just, I'll never forget those scenes of, like, the streets being deserted, the ash from the buildings, everything was covered. But the worst part of it, the most heartbreaking part of it was that, so we were one of the satellite trucks, you know, that were set up along where everything was happening. And then people would just kind of come up to the satellite truck, and they would
knock
on the door, and they would just be holding, like, pictures, literally holding pictures of their loved ones.
God.
And they're like, can you please put the picture of my husband on TV? We're trying to find him. And initially I was obviously as polite as I could be, but I said, look, we're from Boston, like, we're doing stories here, but it's shown back in Boston, like, no one here will see it.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at you like
they don't
the
understand.
First couple of people, right, you would understand because you're in the business, but people like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're TV, like, why won't you do this? Right.
Yeah.
So then after a while I would get my photographer and I would say, okay, we're gonna take a picture of it, we're gonna try, because I couldn't honestly just keep telling people no, because they didn't get it, and they were so distraught and so heartbroken. And it just was horrible.
Did you wear like a face mask? And
we did, but not as much as we should have.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, as much as we should have.
You know, that's the other thing. I mean, you're as a reporter, you're called, and they don't care in the middle of the night. I mean, back in the days when I was married to a news photographer,
right?
I mean, we were a package deal, you know. So they're, and I had two kids, and they're like, we don't care. Find someone to watch your kids. You need to go here now.
Yeah.
But
the other thing too. Sorry to interrupt you. Like, if they asked you. And you didn't go, then they ask somebody else, and then the next time a big story happens,
you're out.
And so, and Channel 7's was very, very competitive internally, right? So in other words, there's a lot of good reporters there and a lot of good journalists there, and people, you know, there were people, you know, we would want to go on the big story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we would call in and be like, hey, you know, you want me to go to Logan? Or, well, no, we're already sending so-and-so. And yeah, so, I mean, it was very, very competitive. And you know, unlike that station is just, you know, it was like unlike any other station around. I mean,
right. And you mentioned a good point. You know, internally, it's very competitive.
100%.
Because you can't move up in your career. You can't put your reel together with good stories if you don't get sent to the good stories.
Right.
But, you know, Jeff, you bring up a good point, too, with some of the stuff that you've covered and continue to cover at WTNH. You know, it does impact you. Like, I can't imagine being at Columbine. I was involved in Sandy Hook. I was working with the superintendent through my business prior to that. On a bus issue. That was our big issue until that happened. And you know, when you're down there on the ground and you're amongst it all and the tragedy and the sorrow, I mean, I think that was, in this life, that was one of my hardest things in this career that I've done. And then the Pettit trials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Pettit, I was there for all of those. And you know, you talk about, back to the cannibal thing, you know, when these guys were, you know, the Pettit family fought for the death penalty, fought, and took years and years and years.
Right.
They finally get it for these two monsters, right, who are complaining about kosher food in prison. But anyway, they finally get it to these two monsters, and then Connecticut repeals the death penalty.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's a head shaker.
Yeah.
And this stuff does. It sticks
with,
sticks with you as a person. I mean, we are human, right? You're human as a reporter.
Right.
But it does have an impact.
Yeah.
It just, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, I'm invited into people's homes, into their lives sometimes at the worst, as you know, Anne, from all your experience, and at the worst possible moment of their life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it sounds campy, but I genuinely mean it. It's a privilege because they're trusting you. It's a big, that camera and microphone is like a weapon. And if it's not respected and used in the proper way, okay, it can really, really destroy people if it's not respected.
Right.
And so, and these people that share these stories with me and that have shared with you over the years, they, you know, they're trusting you to tell their story. And, you know, and then there's always the people that don't want to talk, right?
Right.
Who don't, who think we won't do a story, you know, because we won't talk. And I always tell people that, you know, look, the story, you know, we're
doing. It goes on with or without you.
Correct. We're doing the story.
So,
And I'll, you know, and we'll try and represent your side, but it would be better if you talked with us.
Right.
And so, and some people just don't seem to get it.
How do you think I stay in business?
Yeah, I get
How
it.
How do you think I see him?
Right.
Or you'll go to the gas station and do what they call an MOS, man on the street, and talk to 15 people who know nothing about the story to see what they think about the story.
Exactly.
So, you know, but, and you talk about, you know, it's the competitive nature and going into people's homes. I mean, I remember once a little girl got, you know, run over by a school bus and they're like, you know, go talk to the mother. I'm like, really? Her kid, you know? But if I don't go knock on the door and ask if I can come in, and the other stations knock at the door and she lets him in. So I go knock on the door, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
She lets me in. She shows me pictures. She talks about her darts. You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. But, you know, I got to share one other thing with you real quick. So I remember when it was one of my last days at Channel 30, NBC, and one of the ESPN guys had drowned in his neighbor's backyard pool. Do you remember that?
I do.
He lived on a cul-de-sac in Bristol, and all the stations were there. And this had just happened. It was so horrific. And we all made a pact. Mm-hmm. Let's all go back and tell our news directors that we tried to talk to people, and they said no. Do we all agree?
Mm-hmm.
We all agreed, and we went home. I mean, sometimes you just have to do that.
Sometimes you have to do that.
I mean, I just couldn't, you know, you feel like such a piranha sometimes.
Right. I think what's helpful for people for when I'm in those situations that, you know, I often say to people that, look, we know how they died, but I want to know how they lived.
Yes.
So, and I'm giving away some of my secrets here. So,
that's okay. Love it.
But kidding aside, it's that sometimes for people it's a little cathartic because they are able to talk about like how wonderful and beautiful their daughter was and how accomplished she was and the things that she did and the things that she wanted to do. So for me, that's a way sometimes to try and help people a little bit. It doesn't erase the grief, it doesn't erase the pain, but sometimes people, they genuinely want to talk about their loved one like that.
Right.
So it can be helpful to some people. But I'm very much an advocate of, and I know we got to wrap it up here, but like, in other words, if you don't want to talk in those when those bad stories happen, then that's it. We just leave and that's it. And there's some people who hang around and will bang on the door and wait for you to come out.
Oh, and then they film them banging on the door saying no one answered the door. Exactly. I love that one too.
Yep.
You know what is concerning for me? We got just a few minutes left is, you know, the GoFundMes.
Right.
You know, some of these stories where something's happened and the stations are more than happy to broadcast a GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes, you know, I think it's relevant to the story.
Right.
But sometimes I go, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think it's for me, it's a case-by-case basis,
okay.
and it has to be a story-by-story basis,
yeah.
because I think there can be, and then you have to also be careful, because if you do for one, you got to do for the other. So
do
there,
you?
There is, well, I mean, if someone might say, well, you did a...
Yeah,
you,
different
you know,
situation.
Yeah, that's what I say, that every situation is different, every story is different, so, and I think it's incumbent upon the reporter to know what the heck is going on, and is it sort of valid to broadcast the GoFundMe, or is there something that, you know, people sometimes can be ill-intentioned on things,
as
we both know. So I think you got to be sharp, and you have to use your judgment and use your experience and understand, like, okay, what do we got here? Is this something that I want to do, or, you know, that we should do?
All right, give people your social media again and spell your last name, because it's a little tricky.
It is. You're right. It's not Smith. So so on Instagram, you can find me at Jeff Derderian TV. It's DERDERIAN. And then on Facebook, same thing. Just search Jeff Derderian, DERDERIAN. Any story tips are welcome. You can be anonymous. I get so many stories that way, and I'm just grateful for people who just keep me plugged in here in Connecticut.
Well, I'm telling you, you are one of my favorites.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Really,
coming from you, I do honestly, genuinely appreciate that.
No, I just keep up the good work.
Yeah, we're trying.
I never say good luck. I always say continued success. And check him out. Jeff Derderian, WTNH, Channel 8. And always, when you see Jeff come on, you know it's going to be a good one.
I hope so. We're trying. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we want to thank all of you for tuning into this great edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.